It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
All I'm saying is, as a society, we missed an opportunity to have the upside-down logo represent that your franchise is in distress.
Culturally,
now those hats are cool,
yeah.
As opposed to, listen, I like this team, and I know things are pretty messed up right now. I'm not happy about it.
It's the new paper bag over your head. Show up to a game with a jersey where the Sabre logo is rotated 90 degrees. You just have one ready to go, so if you're mad at them that day when you wake up, like, they lost yesterday, I'm going to wear the upside-down hat.
Here's our billion-dollar idea, Joe. There's a little thing in the back, and you can undo it and rotate it around and put it back on to represent every day how you feel about the team that you're wearing the hat for.
Here, it's a billion-dollar idea.
We are. We shut down the stream. We're done. We're out of here. We're retiring on this idea now.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, quick question for the stream, the chat. Owen's got it in front of you. Can you see the 7 burn on my forehead or no? Is it visible? Gone? Okay, good. Had a sunscreen incident, maybe?
Sunscreen file?
Sure, yeah.
Gotta open them up.
Yeah. The realization on Saturday morning after being out on the beach all day on Friday for the 4th of July that, I must not have rubbed the sunscreen in on my forehead very well because I look like I'm Harry Potter with, maybe it wasn't quite a lightning bolt. Look like a 7.
Just a little, it's a stylistic choice. You know, it's a temporary tattoo given to you by the sun.
Pretty much.
That's all you got to think about it.
Yeah, the chat is saying it's slightly visible.
Maybe they got better. You know what?
A little bit?
Yeah, you know
a
what?
A little bit. The hat is guarding it.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
There it is.
The 7 tattoo for the week.
I like it.
It'll be gone in a day, probably.
Yeah, it'll be.
Because I'm a 5-year-old and going to rub in my sunscreen on the 4th of July, which I hope everybody had a great 4th. The weather, Mike Schopoy says this about Memorial Day. Is this true of the 4th of July also, that we've never had a bad 4th of July for weather?
I think there were a couple of years when we were still up in Canada at the cottage when we used to have a huge party every year. There were a couple of years where it rained, but it's been years, and it was maybe 1 or 2 times since I've been like alive and sentient.
Okay.
So I think pretty much, yeah.
Usually if we get anything, you would think in July like that, it would be a giant thunderstorm.
Right.
Some sort because of the heat and the humidity and whatnot. So yeah, I hope everyone had a great 4th. The weather was great. It's been hot over the weekend. Jeremy's off this week. So the I saw Del Reed with this take over the weekend. I'm more on board with this after we had such a bad weather spring. Are you not allowed to complain about the weather in the summer being too hot or too humid? Or is that more true this year because we just had a disastrous spring when it comes to how cold it was and how rainy it was and the sun didn't make an appearance until like June 10th, it felt like?
I think that setup of spring gives you maybe a little less. You're just less prepared for how hot it's going to be, so I feel maybe there's more of a right to complain. That's my thought process there, because it has felt so hot.
Because normally I'd want to I would be easier to complain about, it's so humid and it's 90 degrees. Yesterday my car said 93.
Oof.
Well, while I'm driving, not like when you first get in the car and, you know, it's usually higher than
it
is.
Once 107 on there.
Yeah, once it's settled in, we got to about 93. But that would normally for me be, this is brutal, I don't want to go outside when it's like this. But even in me, it's, man, 2 months ago, it was
horrible.
Ridiculous.
It definitely was horrible.
It was absurd.
I personally can't stand the humidity specifically. I hot take alert. I know everybody feels that way. But I will never not complain about the humidity. That if it's too humid, you'll hear about it from me. I don't care what the spring was like. We could have been in the ice age. And if 2 weeks later, if it's 98% humidity, I'm mad.
Brutal.
I just can't do it. I hate it.
Josh went away to Maryland. What was Maryland like?
Rhode Island, actually.
Rhode Island,
but it was just as hot, and we actually, for one of the days, had a generational hailstorm.
Generational hair. Careful with the word generational.
That's what people there were saying.
Okay.
That's not me. That's Rhode Islanders.
Does that make it? Does that mean the size of the hail, or
I think it was more so the amount. Like, there were videos that we saw. We stayed with some of my girlfriend's family just outside of Providence, and we were out away for the day in Newport, which is like an hour away, and it was gorgeous all day long, beautiful, nice sunny skies, and right at the end of the day it started to rain. We were like, oh, this kind of stinks, whatever, let's go home. Mm-hmm. As we're driving home, we're seeing more and more like down tree branches, signal lights are out, mm-hmm. like all this like storm damage. And we were like, what happened here? And we asked one of their neighbors, and they're like, yeah, we had hail, we had wind, we had thunder and lightning. It was crazy. And there were videos of people shoveling hail.
Like, wow.
Shoveling hail off of their, like, steps and stuff. Like, so.
Like, they just got an ice storm in December.
Yeah, and we were without power for, like, almost 24 hours. It was kind of crazy, but.
Wow.
You know, that was something. But then all the other days were great, so that was good.
That's good.
I got a lot of sun too. I also had a bird pooped on me on the beach. I was laying there taking a nap, and nice wake up call.
So you were laying out, like you were stationary, you weren't walking?
Yeah, I was laying down, just hanging out, sitting in the
and
sun.
And there it was.
Yep.
What percentage of people have had that happen to them, we think? Does it happen more than we think?
Have either of you guys?
Never.
I've caught in a real light shrapnel at some point. I know that. But never blown like beach laying down right on the chest.
Wasn't
sort of
a direct hit.
There's
what percentage of people do we think that has happened to?
Isn't it good luck?
Do we think it's happened to 50% of people at some point in their lives? Just once.
50 seems high.
50. A lot of people, you get how many summers? There's a lot of summers. Some people live in areas where there's birds all the time.
Right. Yeah. I think it probably also depends on what you're doing with your life day to day based on how much you're outside. I mean, it never happened to me when I was like outside building houses on roofs. Never happened out there.
Unsurprisingly, there's no statistically backed percentage of this, but
no studies.
No, there's no studies on this, but it does seem like it's not super high, but it's not actually that low either.
I would bet it's happened to more people than I bet we think. Well, there's July 7th, so we are still, in the middle of the football quiet season. NFL Top 100 continues. The Sabres made some news yesterday. I woke up this morning thinking about the Bills' regular season and how important that feels this year to everybody. I got a point to make about why you should care. If you are in the camp of, talk to me in January, and not to say you don't enjoy the Bills' regular season. Of course, we still have training camp to go through in the preseason. But if you are one that will watch the games and enjoy them, but the results, maybe you don't live and die by them because you expect the Bills to win the division, you expect them to make the playoffs, you expect Josh Allen to be in the running for MVP, but you're mostly, talk to me in January. I'm living for January right now when it comes to the Bills. I've got one reason why, and it does relate to January, you should care a lot about this regular season and something the Bills haven't done yet and one thing that really could help them go on a run. But before we get into some football, because I do want to do that, and we've got some guests. Paul Hamilton's going to come up at 7 this morning to talk about the Bo Byram arbitration. And at 8:30, we'll talk to Kevin Oestreicher. We'll start going through the Bills' schedule team by team. So today, the Ravens, week one, and what's happened with their offseason and if their roster is still as well built around Lamar Jackson as it was last year, which I think was a reason why he did not win MVP. You had better stats, but you had more help. And then finally, at 9 o'clock, we'll get some fantasy football in with Adam Krautwurst. But to start on what the Sabres did yesterday, because I was surprised, caught off guard by the team opting for arbitration with Bo Byram, who still is a Buffalo Sabre. on July 7th. And if you're maybe you were on vacation for a couple of weeks and you unplugged and thought, all right, let me see what the Sabres have done. Surely they must have traded Bo Byram away. They have not. And now they are making a additional move decision with him. The player, I guess, gets first crack at this. And the player decided, no, I don't need it. I don't want arbitration. And for one reason that I think we all discovered reading the situation and seeing like why the Sabres might have done this is now Bo Byram cannot sign an offer sheet. And if he had opted for arbitration, he would have known that. So then it's the Sabres' turn to decide whether or not they would like to do it. And they go ahead and say, yeah, we'll do arbitration, which, hey, that can get ugly between players and between teams, but the Sabres, I'm sure, do not currently view this as a long-term relationship. They might think that any day, any minute, he's going to get dealt. So it's a leverage play. He no longer can sign that offer sheet with any team. As of right now, he is ineligible for it. So if there was a consideration out there between Byram and whoever. I saw there was an article about the Sharks and Byram from yesterday, but they wouldn't do it, you think, because of how high their pick would be, but whatever. That there was a real threat of teams, you know, vulturing around Byram and thinking, all right, we can get this guy in an offer sheet. We could really test the Sabres. We could really put a front-loaded money contract on the books and do it long-term, and we don't think they want to do a long-term deal. So, and they might know Byram wants out because not he doesn't have a problem with Buffalo or a problem with the Sabres even, but he just wants a bigger role, and he wants big money. So if a team came at the Sabres and tested them on that, they would have had a pretty tough decision. Because if you want to move Byram off your team for something that will help you right now, well, that's over. You cannot do that. He signs an offer sheet. It is either you're keeping him or you're taking the draft pick compensation. And if you're keeping him, you're not allowed to trade a guy for a full year after you decide to match that offer sheet. And the Sabres would have been, I think, in a little bit of a tricky situation had that happened. So with this, they get to throw that out the window. And what is also interesting now is they have no restraints on that remaining cap space. Not to say they'll use it, because I'm very skeptical that they will use it, but as of right now, $13.6 million, which even Kevin Adams, I think, had alerted everyone to last week when he spoke, that they needed to hold on to some cap space in the event that Byram got offer sheeted. You got to have it ready so that if somebody comes calling and makes you make a decision, you have the available room to match. As they said, they would match anything. Well, now you can't. Now there's no reason to match. So, all right, but, you know, we're a week after free agency, and everybody's gone. Nikolaj Ehlers signed with Carolina over the weekend, and not to say the Sabres were, I think, necessarily a strong bidder on him anyway. The list is, like, what are you supposed to do with it? Now it's to the trade market. And I don't know whether to buy this because it's Alan Walsh, the J.J. Paterka's agent. He's the NHL agent that has his own Twitter account, that he's always talking and whatnot. And he did say last week that there is still so much unused cap space in the next couple of years with the cap going up that expect the trade market to really heat up this week. Take that for what it's worth. You heard a lot of going into the NHL draft from certain insiders. This is going to be a busy one. Everybody's home and they got, you know, they've got their deals lined up because they're not waiting to get onto the floor together. So maybe some things would be more advanced. And then NHL draft night showed up and there was nothing. Nothing. No action, no big trades, really. Nothing big happened. So, false alarm. And this is probably, I would say, another false alarm. But there is a lot of unused cap space around the league. The Sabres, I don't think they want to necessarily go to arbitration. I don't think they want this situation to drag on and drag on with Byram. I don't even think he's really worth it. I think he's a good player. And I think you would get some pushback from some on even calling him that. And there might be some others that think he's even better than that. That, oh, he's great. Look at, I mean, what was he, 15th in the league last year in even strength points amongst defensemen? And that's without, doesn't get power play time and put up 40 points last year. Like, no, this guy's really, really good. And then there's another camp that I think has a lot of data behind them that looks at Bo Byram and says, yeah, this guy is only good when he plays with Rasmus Dahlin or Cale Makar, which, you know, that could be a lot of people. That could be, is he the Marquez Valdez Scantling of the NHL? Where, oh yeah, you put up some numbers in your career, but you've played with Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Like, congratulations. You had a lot of help going your way over those couple of years where you're putting up some numbers. And Byram has had that. He was also a very high draft pick, which I think helps in his favor as well. I think he was fourth overall. So maybe it depends how good you actually think the player is. I don't think he is near good enough to warrant all of this. Is it even a problem, though, calling it a headache? I wouldn't want to call it a headache. It is the point in the year where there's really not a lot else happening in the NHL. Free agency's mostly settled down. Teams have built their squads. They've got their trades that they've made. And you'll have a couple of tinkering moves, I think, between now and the start of the season. But I think most teams have done the majority of their work. So who's going to want Byram? And did the Sabres play it well? Because one thing about taking it this far, as they now head into an arbitration battle, potentially, is I do wonder if they would have as big a market today for him as they might have a month ago, right after the season ended.
That's my, I think, biggest unanswered question about this is the organization doing themselves a favor in holding on to this asset for this long, or are they just weeding out the market? Like, is the market just fulfilling itself and basically operating under the assumption that we're the price is too high for Byram, so let's find our other moves, and then will the Sabres be stuck with going to arbitration with Byram and then, you know, kind of getting worked out and walking him straight to UFA in this contract? And I think it gives some leverage now, but I also think it splits it. Like, you right now, to me, you got to be trying to find a sign-and-trade or somebody to take him off your hands before this hearing. Because he signs this contract for this hearing, and now you're trading for a player that's getting walked straight to their UFA, and you have zero leverage with that guy. If you're the team if, say, whoever, Rangers is a bad example, but Calgary wants to trade for Bowen Byram now. If they trade for him after this arbitration hearing, you're now purchasing a player for 2 years.
Right.
Most likely. He's not going to, like, you're walking him straight to UFA if he gets that arbitration contract.
Yeah.
And then you're in trouble. So that just lessens your value more.
That's if he goes for 2 years also. So if you're not familiar with how this works, when the team decides to take you to arbitration, the player gets to decide the term.
Right.
And I think though it's only 1 or 2 years.
Correct.
So that I've seen a lot of that, well, now he can go for 2 years and now he's under contract until he's a UFA. I don't know though that he would want to do that, because if he's expecting a trade, which I still think he should be, then signing a 2-year deal makes him ineligible, I believe, to sign the long-term extension right now with whatever team he might get dealt to. And if he goes to, let's use Calgary, because Calgary has been mentioned, you just use them, and they've been reportedly interested, and that's close to home for him in comparison. Right. He's from the Vancouver area, so it's closer, obviously, by a lot. And they need a guy. They need a guy to play on the power play and play big minutes. So, all right, Calgary trades for him, and he likes the idea. He's like, I could see a role here for myself. I could put up big numbers, and I'm closer to home than I was in Buffalo by a lot, and the team was better last year, so I've got that going for me. Yeah, I think I'd like to stay here. Oh, wait a minute. I signed a 2-year contract. Right. Now, he might not care that much because, you know, just in a year I'll sign it. In a year I'll be eligible for the 7-year extension. Give me some time. But if he would like to get that big payday right now, then he makes himself ineligible by going for a 2-year deal.
Yeah, I think...
Depends.
I think it depends on what he wants to do, but I would be very surprised to see him as a player that is his caliber...
Give away that. He would be giving away a little bit of leverage. Yeah. It would be a high risk,
right?
Low reward.
The other benefit of that is you do 2 years, that's another year of that cap, you know, blowing up.
Yeah.
And that's just another couple of million you can stuff in your pockets. I think that he has very little motivation to do anything other than say, all right, give me the 2 years. I'm secured in this, whatever it's going to be, $7.5 million contract that he'll be awarded in arbitration for 2 years, and then I get to go do whatever I want, wherever I want. And then you're golden. And I think he's not unbelievable. I agree with you. I don't think he's some sort of franchise changer or anything like that. But he's a good defenseman. He in the right situations. As almost any player in the NHL is, it's hard to transcend your environment as a player in the NHL in a lot of ways. There's very few guys that can do that, and he is certainly not one of those. But he's an asset. He's a good player that people want and are attracted to. So he knows that. His agent knows that. And he knows, if I can get a respectable contract out of this arbitration hearing, I can make a whole lot more money than I could if I signed a long-term extension right now, even. And I think the only reason he didn't probably, that camp didn't decide, let's do arbitration ourselves, is they wanted the offer sheet possibility as an ejector button.
I'm sure they wanted that still out there.
And so the Sabres have decided to take that away, but I think with that, they've also sacrificed a little bit of their leverage here.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see where it plays out. I got to think and got to hope that they're looking for a move before that hearing.
Yep.
It's got to be your best course of action at this point.
I would agree. I would think a trade at some point is still likely, but who knows? I don't actually...
Unless...
I don't think those hearings happen until August.
It's late July, I believe.
Late July. Okay. So there's weeks to go. So really, I'm not on alert right now that it's going to happen any second. Like, it could happen today, it could happen in 2.5 weeks.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, none of that would be surprising.
Yeah. But and there's also a chance that they've made the decision, all right, we're just going to go with him for the next 2 years and see what happens.
Yep.
There's also that, you know, possibility mixed in here.
Yep. 803-0550 is the phone number. We will get into some football today. Talk about the Bills regular season and what's on the line this regular season for the Bills. It might feel like not as much as last year. Last year was very much just get in. We're not really sure how good this roster is. They're not even favored to win the division, although that was only for a day where the Jets were favored at a couple of different sports books. But hey, the Jets with Rodgers and the Dolphins, this is going to be a fight. And then the Bills won it and cruised. So now I don't think about that. I don't have to worry about it, I would say, at the very least. So what do I got? And I do think there is something to be very motivated for the Bills regular season. So get to some of that. Paul Hamilton's coming up at 7. Get his thoughts on this Byram situation now. The Sabres have made an arbitration move here to file for that. So get Paul's take on all that. Talk some Ravens, talk some fantasy. Have a lot of fun. You got a thought? 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy's off this week. Jody Biasi, Owen Parker, Josh Schmidt, all hanging out here on WGR.